Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Glad to be with the congregation here in Washington. We enjoyed our short little stay with Tim's. I feel like I learned to know some of you somewhat, especially through Tim and his work in our congregation about 4 years ago. I want to take this opportunity to thank the congregation here for sharing him with us at that time. I also feel like I know a little bit about the congregation here. I had a couple sons that would attended Bible school at Cornerstone, and it's been a blessing to them, and talked about various individuals they met, and of course some of the youth. I don't really feel like I know you personally, maybe, but I know a few things about the congregation here, and I appreciate what you stand for and what you do here in this community, and it's been a blessing to our family, to our boys, and also some of the other youth at Liberty that have attended here. It's been a blessing for them to learn to know youth from other parts of the country, and it's I think it's a good thing to branch out and learn to know others in that way. I'd also welcome you whenever you can to share with us at Liberty. Liberty is in northern Pennsylvania. It's probably not really along the way or the way a lot of you would travel, but you're welcome to drive out of your way to be with us as well. We'd welcome that anytime. Anytime you have the opportunity. We're a small group there, and certainly enjoy visitors whenever we can. Also, I'd like to just a comment or two on the devotional. That verse from Psalm always stood out to me as well. The Lord is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. And I guess the challenge when I go to that verse and I read that verse, the challenge, it's always been a challenge to me that the Lord, if the Lord's going to be feared somewhere, it had better be in the assembly of his saints, because it's probably not going to happen anywhere else. If it doesn't happen in the assembly of his saints, it's very unlikely. And when I look at America today, and I see one thing that's wrong with our country, and one thing that's wrong with society, it's the lack of the fear of God in their hearts. It's the lack of the fear of God in their heart. If they really feared God the way God wants us to fear him, things would be different. Things would be different in America and society, and I must say that if the fear of God was in the hearts of his people, like it should be, there'd be a difference in my life as well. And that's a constant challenge. I don't think we ever get to the point where now I have a proper fear of God, and I have a fear of God that can't be improved on. But I believe the fear of God is something that we continue to need to cultivate in our hearts, and all we need to do is just neglect that, and we know what happens, and we lose that fear of God, and we lose that saltiness that God has called us to have, and we're called to be a salt and a light to the world and to the society that we live in. And when the fear of God is not present in the assembly of his saints, there's a salt and a preserving influence that is lost in society. And I'm afraid that it goes back many times to the church and her unwillingness to fear God like he wants us to fear him. And we lose that saltiness that God wants us to have, and we lose the influence in our communities and in our societies. Let's be faithful in fearing God, and in these kind of assemblies especially, having the fear of God in our hearts, and and then somehow go out into the world and show by our lives that we do fear Him, and that there is a fear of God in our hearts, and that He's the reason we live like we do, and He's the reason, He's the driving force behind our life. Let's be faithful in having the fear of God in our hearts. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. I'd like to read an introduction. I'd like to read chapter 12 and the first four verses of chapter 13 of Genesis. And this is the story of Abraham. And Abraham's always been a challenge to me. And talking about the fear of God, I believe one of the reasons that Abraham was as effective as he was and the man of faith that he was because of the fear of God that he had and the God consciousness that he had. I mean, when he went somewhere, he built an altar. That's the first thing he did. And it just seemed like his life revolved around God and what God wanted of him. And he took his cues from God. And we'll read this passage. There were some lapses in Abraham's life, and I think they're recorded here for us to learn from. Abraham was another man, and he faced a lot of the same challenges that you and I do, I believe, and a lot of the pressures that you and I face. And yet, he was a faithful man, and God had a lot of commendation for Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten them in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Pharaoh well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses, and the men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, 'She is my sister,' so I might have taken her to be to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. unto the place of the altar which he had there in the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, I've titled the message this morning, The Journey of Faith. And this passage caught my attention because of the different moves that Abraham made in this passage. We see a number of different moves that Abraham made and different moves that he made. And I believe we can draw some parallels to our Christian life today and our lives today that, you know, life brings a lot of changing scenes, and life brings changes to our physical lives, and we face challenges in our physical lives that we didn't face 5 years ago. Maybe there's things we may face in our Christian life today, some challenges, some temptations possibly that we didn't face before, and maybe we're facing some things today that 5 years ago didn't hit us at all. And I'd like to look at this and look at some things that Abraham, some good points and some things, some mistakes that Abraham made as he faced life and his journey of faith. And I think even the places where, like I said, Abraham made some mistakes, I think it's good for us to look at that, and there's some very important things that we can learn from those mistakes and apply to our Christian life. How am I going to face the situations that come up in life? How am I going to continue on the journey of faith, be faithful to God and to the calling where he's called me? Abraham is known as a man of faith. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 11. You don't need to turn there really, but you're familiar with that passage. And Abraham, there's a pretty good block of verses that's cut right in there that is about Abraham and Sarah. And verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed." It was by faith Abraham obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. And that's the passage that we read this morning. God said, God had told Abraham, "Get you out of your country. Leave it." And everything he knew. I'm trying to lay my eyes in the verse there, but it's God said, "You get out and you go to the place that I will show thee." He didn't tell him, he didn't lay it out, and he didn't hand a map to Abraham and say, "Here's where I want you to go," and showed his travels and all that. But he told Abraham, "You get out and then go where I tell you to go." And it was kind of a blank check, I believe, that Abraham was giving to God when God told him to leave. Abraham, by faith, obeyed. He left. And then he went where God told him to go. And that's a challenge to me. Abraham, on down in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. It was an act of faith on Abraham's part, following God's leading, and I'm sure there were times that Abraham wasn't really sure. When that famine came up, I'm sure there was that was a question in his mind: why am I here? And is this really where I belong? Have I made some mistake in agreeing to this move? Abraham received some tremendous promises from God as well, as he lived in obedience to that. And this morning, from this passage, I'd like to focus on Abraham's move. In verse 12, or chapter 12 and verse 5, it says that he went forth out of the land of his where he was raised, where his family was. He went forth out of that land. Verse 10, it says he went down into Egypt. And then in verse 1 of chapter 13, and Abraham went up out of Egypt. And I believe there's some parallels that we can make to our life today and to our Christian lives, and some things that we can learn from this coming forth, going down, and coming back up. And I'd like to look at a number of them. I'd like to look at this. His first move, he went forth into Canaan. And that is what I would consider responding to God's call. Responding to God's call in the first place. And there's initial call that God gives to each one of us. And to follow him. And to live for him. And to be a Christian. And to be one of his children. And I believe that responding to God's call and what are some of the things that entails. And then there's that going down into Egypt. And it's sort of a recession of faith. And it's faith receding and maybe backing away from our faith. And maybe we're losing that complete trust and confidence that we once had in God. And we see that happening in Abraham's life. And then, of course, we have Abraham coming up out of Egypt again, and I'd like to look at that and faith returning. First of all, faith responding. God told Abraham in verse 1 of chapter 12, "You get out of your country and go unto a land that I will show thee." And verse 4, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken." Faith is always a response to God's word, as God had spoken. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. It was a personal call to Abraham. You leave your country and you go to where I want you to go. And it was a response on Abraham's part as the Lord had spoken unto him. Romans 10 and verse 17, we have the verse that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is always a response to the word of God. It's always a response to God's word. And God doesn't call us to have a faith in something that we can't. He always provides his word. And he provides us with his word. His word gives us the direction that we need. And while it's not always clear to us exactly how his will all work out, I'm glad that he has given us his word. And we have record of his word today, and we can respond to that. It's never presumptuous to take God at his word. And, you know, as we make decisions in life, and as decisions come up that we need to make, and I'm aware that for some of you that may have hit closer home than others with your outreach and all of that, God comes and he places a call in your life, and there's a call comes for you to do something that maybe may not. To my natural reasoning and my natural mind, it may not make sense, and it may seem like, you know, I'm doing this and it doesn't really make sense, and how's this all going to work out? What of my family? What of my children? What of we are not being presumptuous to take God at his word. When God calls us, when God tells us to leave, when God tells us to a holier life, it's not being presumptuous to obey that and live in obedience to it. It might be above human reasoning. It may be that. It may not make sense to your neighbor, but it's not being presumptuous. Just remember that. If we are convinced that the Bible is the Word of God and that God is who he says he is in his Word, it is not unreasonable that we should accept the promises of his word. And that's a that's a challenge to me. It's a promise to me that, it's not an unreasonable thing, because I serve a God that's bigger than my own reasoning, and bigger than the things that make sense to me. He's able to take the my life and make of it what he wants to make of it. And the challenge for me is to, by faith, obey and live in obedience to his word. Abraham believed that God would do what he said. In verses 2 and 3, God told Abraham, "I'm going to make of you a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and you're going to be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And we recognize that as messianic prophecy. "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And that's us today. Abraham believed that. Abraham believed that what God said here, he's gonna fulfill, and he's gonna fulfill his promises. And we need to respond the same way to God's word today, and remember that when God promises something, and when God promises a blessing on obedience, he means it, and he means that that when we obey, there's going to be a blessing for it. Whether or not we recognize that in the next 2 weeks, or maybe a year or 5 years, there's a blessing in obedience, and maybe it'll take eternity to really enjoy the blessing that he has for us in living in obedience to his word. It's a response of faith to accept the promises of God's word. At Romans 10:9, we have a very familiar verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that the Lord hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's salvation in believing the promises of God. There's salvation in accepting the promises of God. It's not that God doesn't ask us to change our life completely, and when we got it all changed and cleaned up and come to him, we'll be saved. That's not what he asks of us, but it says we accept the promise of his word, that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, there's salvation. And then he works a new work in our heart, and he renews our hearts and makes us a new creature. And we can go to Ephesians and read all that, what God does. He quickens us, and he makes us alive, and he empowers us to live the new life. And it's a promise for us to accept. It's by faith that we claim the assurance of salvation, and that's a response to God's word. So what did Abraham's response, his response in leaving and going out, what all did that involve? I was challenged with verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out." You get out of your country. And one of the things that Abraham's response of faith involved was a separation. And when we respond to God in faith, and when we live in obedience to God, and we follow God's command, there's going to be some separation. There will be some separation. God is great for, it's black and white with God. There's not those gray areas and those areas that really don't matter, but it's black and white to God, and there's some separation, and there's some things that he calls us out of, and if we really want to enjoy the blessings of God, there's going to be a separation between us and the world, between our new nature, between us and our old nature, and the carnality that once controlled us no longer has a part of us. Another thing that is involved in Abraham's response of faith was obedience. We talked about that. Obedience to God's direction. He said, "You go to a land that I will show thee of. To a land that I will show thee." And that's a challenge to me, that again, that God didn't lay that all out in front of Abraham. And I don't believe he gave Abraham a map to show him exactly where he was sending him and where was going to be his inheritance and all those things. But it was God telling Abraham, first of all, to get out. And then you go, you follow me day by day by day. And you probably heard already that, you know, when God told Abraham to jump, he jumped, and he asked Kahai on the way up. And I believe that's a little how Abraham operated. When he left his old country, it was on his way out. And when he was miles from home, I believe it was a daily thing. Now, where, Lord, where are we going today? And where's the path taking us today? Notice the blessings that God promised Abraham. Verse 2 and 3, we already talked about them. I will make of thee a great nation. He says, I'm going to make your name great. I don't know what all that involved, but Abraham did have a great name in the land of Canaan. He was well known. And I don't believe that should be a goal of ours to have a great name. But there is a difference between us trying to make a name for ourselves and when the Lord gives us a great name. And I believe it was when they built the Tower of Babel that those men said, come on, let's build a tower and let's make a name for ourselves. Here it says that God told Abraham, I'm going to bless thee and I'm going to make your name great. There's a big difference there. And may we allow God to make our name great, and let's not go about on our own efforts to somehow have a great name. Verse 7, we also have the Lord appearing unto Abraham, and I believe that's another blessing of Abraham's response of faith, is that after he left and after he came into the land of Canaan, it says, verse 6, he passed through the land of Shechem and the plain of Moreh, and that Canaanite was then in the land. It says the Lord appeared to him again. And the Lord came to him again, and he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there was communication between Abraham and God. And God didn't lead Abraham out of his old country into this new land and then just sort of leave him, but it was God appearing time and again to Abraham, and there was communication between God and Abraham. Today, God is calling us to a life of faith in Him. He wants us to claim His promises. He wants us to enjoy the communion and fellowship that we can have with Him. But let's remember the order that it comes in. Abraham first had to be willing to separate himself. He had to be willing to live in obedience to God and separate himself from the past, his past, in order to be able to claim God's promises and be able to enjoy the blessings that God had for him. He had to be willing to obey God and leave his old country in order to inherit the new land that God had for him. And today, we are called to a life of separation from sin, selfishness, pride, living by our own human reasoning. You know, we tend to, at least maybe I'm giving myself away, but I tend to like to figure it out myself and figure out, you know, if I do this, then if, you know, then this. And there's some things that in my own reasoning, I won't be able to understand. But when God gives me a command, and when He claims a certain area in my life, it's my responsibility to obey it, not try and figure out how it's all going to end up. We're called to a day by day and a step by step obedience to God's will. We like the security of the long-range plans and having it all figured out and the maps and you know, after this it's going to be this and then it'll be this. And we like that kind of security, but that's many times isn't the way God operates. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there today that, you know, they claim to trust God for salvation. And, you know, they accept the fact that Jesus came and died for their sins, and because of that, there's salvation. But then they refuse to allow God to manage the rest of their life. And they prefer to manage their own affairs. And it's probably a tendency of each one of us to act the same way. We depend on God for salvation, but this everyday stuff and all that other stuff, I'm going to have to figure it out, and I'm going to have to arrange stuff so that it all comes out all right. Let's remember that God is looking out for us, and He knows what's best for us, and He's looking for a people who are willing to separate themselves from sin and live in obedience to Him. And then as we live in obedience and by faith accept God's plan for our life, He's got blessings and promises and security and happiness and joy and peace that none of that our own human reasoning and our way of doing things will ever provide for us. Let's remember that. Now, faith receding. Verse 10, there was a famine in the land. Things were rolling right along for Abraham, and he was rich in cattle and goods, and he was in the land of promise, the place that God said He was going to give it. He had just said in verse 7, I'm going to give you this land and to your posterity forever. And here in verse 10, there was a famine in the land. Things dried right up. And Abraham was he had herds of cattle. I mean, I don't think this passage, there are some passages that spell out a little, some of Abraham's holdings and some of his assets. It was tremendous. And you have a famine in the land and the grass all dries up and you have this kind of cattle, this amount of cattle and donkeys and sheep and goats and whatever else. Abraham was in a real tight spot here. There was a famine in the land, and so Abraham went down to Egypt. Abraham headed for Egypt when this famine came. He did it, I believe, without God's direction. It doesn't mention, you know, what all went into Abraham's decision to go to Egypt, but it says that the famine came, and Abram went down to Egypt. And he took this matter into his own hands, I believe, and he did what made sense to Abraham, and he probably did what would make sense to you and me this morning. We go where there's grass. We'll go where there's food for these cattle. It only makes sense. And the problem was that Egypt wasn't part of this country that God had told Abraham that He's going to show him of. Egypt wasn't part of that. And then, of course, we have this other little glitch that he ran into with Sarah. He goes down to Egypt, and on the way there, I can just picture Abraham, you know, how's this all gonna work out? And then he thought of the fact, you know, they're gonna think Sarah is a good looking woman, and Pharaoh's gonna want her, and they'll kill me. So there was another twist that Abraham again had to figure out. And isn't that how it is in our life today? We start doing things our own way, and we start following our own human reasoning. I'm sorry, but we're just not smart enough to see all the twists and turns, and we're not able to reason around every last thing. We're just not that brilliant. I don't care how farsighted you are or how far ahead you're able to see, you won't see it all. And Abraham didn't either. And I believe it was on the way down to Egypt, he got to thinking about this and he seen a potential problem. And so here we go again. We have to find grass, but we also need to figure out what we're going to do when they come after Sarah and they want to kill me. And so he told Sarah what to say, and they connived, and as a result, it did not work out the way Abraham expected, and as a result, Sarah finds herself in Abraham's house or in Pharaoh's house, and now what? Well, God intervened for Abraham, but I believe his testimony in Egypt evaporated. It was gone. Pharaoh thought very little of Abraham after that. And any time, I believe one of the lessons that we can learn from this little phase of Abraham's life is any time that we take matters into our own hands and we start reasoning things out and we start trying to figure it out, we're going to get ourselves into some disturbing situations. We will. And we might think that, and I'm not in any way advocating just, you know, not thinking ahead. I believe it's important. God gave us brains and he gave us minds to think with, but we follow his direction and we go where he tells us to go. And even though we can't always think that thing through, but anytime that we try to connive and we try to make things work out for our own good and leave God out of the picture, we're going to get ourselves into some pretty twisted situations, and we're going to get ourselves into some situations that God has ways of bringing us up short and showing us our own short-sightedness and showing us our own weaknesses and showing us how small and insignificant we really are. I believe at the time, our own reasoning many times seems so practical and sensible, and we follow that, and we feel like we're getting ahead, and we really seem like we're going places. But there's coming a time when we will come up against it, and we need God. We need God and his direction and his input in our life. As believers, we are called to live a life of faith that touches every area and every detail and every situation in our life. God wants us to, yes, accept his plan for us in relation to salvation and accept that. But he also wants us to look to him to supply our needs and in relation to our families, in relation to our occupations, and relation to finding a life's companion. He wants to help us through those things, and he wants us to follow his leading, and he's got a plan for us, and he wants us to be willing to follow that. And we need to view the life of faith and that journey of faith as something that isn't a detriment or is it's not holding us back, but it's what brings meaning and satisfaction and security to life as we follow God completely and unquestioningly, and even when things seem to be adverse and going against us, we continue to follow God and live for him and follow where he has called us. Now the third part, yet faith returning in chapter 13. After this whole situation played out, it says Abraham went up out of Egypt. I believe Abraham, after this whole thing, Abraham got to the point where he's seen it, you know, really I'm somewhere where I don't belong. And this isn't working out at all, and he again decided to go back to where he had left God and where he had parted ways with God and God's direction, get back to that point, and then he knew that God's going to be back there waiting for him. And I believe he was right. It says that Abraham went up out of Egypt, verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. God was there. And I believe this, Abraham went up out of Egypt a much wiser and a much humbler Abraham than went down into Egypt. I believe this was something he had learned, the lesson that God had for him in this whole situation. And this experience, I'm sure, emphasized in his mind his need for God. And it renewed his dedication that he call on the name of the Lord. I believe it renewed in his mind that he needs the Lord and he needs God's direction and to show him the way in this land of Canaan. I'm glad that God doesn't write us off the first time that we get sidetracked. And I'm glad that God doesn't just, when we walk away from him, when we go down to Egypt and we start conniving and trying to figure stuff out on our own, that he doesn't write us off. But whenever we are willing to come back to that altar where we left God, and where we were willing to take directions from God, when we get back to that altar, God's going to be there. We have that promise. God's going to be there, and he's going to continue to give us direction, and he's going to continue to have the direction that we need, and he's going to show us the way. In a war, there's many wars. There's many different battles. There's battles being fought here, and then a few weeks later there might be a battle fought over here. And in a war, there may be incidental defeats and reverses, and yet that incidental defeat and that maybe one or two little reverses doesn't result in the loss of the whole campaign. It doesn't necessarily mean that they lost the whole war. And I believe that's how it is in our journey of faith. And it was true in Abraham's journey of faith, that we may fail and we may be defeated and we may be sidetracked from following God's direction. But as we acknowledge those failures, as we admit the defeat and admit that where we are is a result of our own conniving and our own human reasoning, and we go back up and we go to the altar where we left God, why, we can experience victory again, and we can experience the victory that God has for us. The minute that God sees us getting back to that first altar, why, he's there to meet us. And thank God for the forgiveness and the power that he again gives us as we confess our sin, as we confess our shortcomings, and we get back to the altar and worship and following, living in obedience to God. I'd like to close with a verse out of the book of Hosea. I came across this verse recently that, of course, it's a minor prophet, and it was written to the backsliding people of Israel. Hosea 14 and verse 4. This little verse means a lot to me. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. He was talking to Israel, but I believe he's talking to anyone that has walked away from God and has confessed that and admitted those shortcomings and come back to God. And he said, I'll heal your backsliding. I will. I'll heal it. And I will love you freely. When we make a mistake and when we walk away from God and come back to him, it's not like he's going to hold us at arm's length and make us prove that we're really serious this time. But he loves us freely. And he heals our backsliding. And he, as we accept his plan for our life, he gives us the strength for victory. And thank God for that. Each of you, as you walk the journey that God has for you, whatever that journey is, I don't know many of you personally. I don't know the things you face, but I can assure you that as you live for God and as you live in obedience to God's call and follow His direction in life, I can assure you that God will have the next step laid out for you. And He will show you the way. And He will give you the strength and the power to live in victory in the future. May you be faithful, whatever life may have for you. May you be faithful to the Lord and look forward to the time when we can inherit the eternal blessings that God has for us. Let's kneel for prayer. For this story of many examples that